Isn't that great? Wonderful. Great. Thanks, choir. And thanks, everyone. We're so glad you're here on this really special day in the Scripture and in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ as we think through the days of the week ahead and what began on this day and followed through with some tough days for the Savior and what happened in the crucifixion. And, of course, next Sunday we will be here together to celebrate His great resurrection. On January 20th, 2009, all of us are aware of that, Barack Obama took the oath of office as the 44th President of the United States and pledged, I quote, to begin a new work of remaking America. And addressing a throng estimated at more than 2 million people on the Capitol's Mall, and millions of others apparently watching on television, our new president recognized, he said, the multiple crises now afflicting the nation at a time of war abroad and economic turmoil at home. And he promised to rally Americans to a new era of responsibility and a brighter future for all. I am not making any political statements this morning about that. Whether or not that's happening, that's for you to decide. I am far more interested in the inaugural parade that followed that address. The president and his family entered an American-manufactured limo and proceeded slowly along a parade route that had been designated, of course. His license plate, USA1, with crowds causing delays even for people with parade tickets. The parade would consist of dozens of marching bands and bugle corps and floats from every state in the country, along with the heavy cheers from a crowd as the president's car moved slowly toward that viewing place. Such tight security. And then the president and the first lady got out of the car, which followed recent history, and began moving slowly with the car and with others down that road to that place where they would observe the parade. And then all of a sudden, you remember if you saw it, the president and the first lady got out of the car and began walking there. And as they did, there were a whole different group of people with or without tickets and security checks. Unbelievable going on. It was to many an impressive, impressive inaugural parade. Hail to the chief. Certainly wasn't that way when a king arrived in Jerusalem in what we now call Palm Sunday. If you brought a Bible with you this morning, would you turn with me? We read a part of it earlier together. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 19 this morning and just for a few moments think with me about a few ways that it was not a typical inaugural parade for a king. It was completely different. In fact, as we find chapter 19 and verse 28 to start with, would you think about the vehicle used in this parade? After he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he approached Bethage and Bethany near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you will find a young donkey tied on which no one yet has ever sat." Interesting. "Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying that?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying this donkey, its owner said, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.'" The cities mentioned in the text are about a mile apart from each other on the slopes of an area known as the Mount of Olives. You've probably seen it in pictures, which sits right next to Jerusalem. Bethany, of course, was the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. So Jesus sends the two of his disciples to go ahead and get the limo ready. Normally, a head of state would have plenty and substantial numbers of advanced team members to make arrangements. Our Lord asked two friends to go ahead and get this donkey. Not buy one, but untie one, which is all rather unusual, as we will see. But here's Jesus, the King of Kings, riding in on a donkey. Why was that? Why do you suppose that was so significant? For one thing, the donkey, and Jesus made it clear in the text here for us, God tells us this little detail. The donkey had never been ridden before. That's because the law stated, which the people would have been observing and worried about and concerned about, that no ordinary animal can be used like this for sacred purposes. It must be one who hasn't been ridden on before. And this certainly was that kind of purpose. But you know, I think as well that it speaks more than that. It speaks of the humility that Jesus wanted to come, that God wanted to send his only son before them. He came on a donkey as a sign of peace. You know, if Jesus had been riding on a horse and coming forth, it would have spoken about war. It would have been the picture of a king coming into the city wanting to get something, take something. Not so with this king. Jesus, this king came on a donkey to give everything, to give his life a ransom for others, in order to make peace between men and God. Matthew's gospel quotes from the prophet Zechariah, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, mounted on a donkey." There's just literally dozens of beautiful prophecies that were all fulfilled at this very moment, including that one. The vehicle for the King of Kings is a humble one, but it's just exactly what God intended his son to come into that great city, the city of Jerusalem, humbly on a donkey. Think of the welcome. What kind of a welcome was there for this king along this parade route? Verse 35, let's pick it up. They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. And as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. A peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees, the religious people around in the crowd, began to say to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Things are getting out of control." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, even the stones will cry out. You don't understand who's coming in to the city today." Well, this throwing of garments in front was really nothing new. It occurred often, not only in this time, but in the Old Testament, many, many examples. For example, I have one in 2 Kings chapter 9 here before me. In verse 12, we learn, "Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then they hurried, and each man took his own garment and placed it under him on the bare steps and blew the trumpet, saying, Jehu is king. Jehu is king." That's what they did for one of the old kings in the Old Testament. So it all fit very well again for another king. And here on Palm Sunday, it's the start of an absolutely amazing Passover celebration. There are people from all over the Roman Empire, and there are folks everywhere, and people are curious and wondering what's going on. Who is this Jesus? What is he really saying? What's he talking about? Is he come with authority? Does he come as the king? Who is he? And there was so much confusion. Was he really the Messiah? They had no concept of a suffering Messiah coming into the city, which the Psalms had so beautifully prophesied. Only a ruling king. So he makes his way down the mountain, and the crowd is getting bigger and bigger, and people are singing and they're shouting, and his disciples are getting excited about it. Maybe, just maybe, this is the time when this man Jesus will declare himself king and rescue our nation Israel from the oppression and the control of Rome. Maybe this is it. Hail to the chief. And they began to sing, and what amounts to a beautiful reference in the Old Testament. They probably weren't even that familiar with singing it all of a sudden. But in Psalm 118, open the gates of the temple. I will go in and give him my thanks. Those gates are the way into the presence of the Lord, and the godly enter there. Oh Lord, thank you for answering my prayer and saving me. The stone rejected by the builders has now become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous to see. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. They're shouting that. They're singing that. They're praising. Pretty much unaware of what they're doing. We know they didn't understand exactly who he was and why he was coming, and the crowd there would soon turn against him. And the authorities, who should have known better, did not recognize him for who he was, and a crowd is singing uninformed praises for the most part, heralding a king coming into this city, answering our prayers. Here he comes. He's going to lead us out. He's going to protect us from the enemy. Maybe this is the king. Maybe this is the one. Jesus says, if you silence my disciples, even the stones will cry out. In reference to Habakkuk's prediction that judgment would come from God just before the fall of Jerusalem, and that the stones of the city wall would cry out the sins of the people. The vehicle was a donkey. The welcome was a song of Hosanna. I want you to see in verse 41 what was going on in the city and what Jesus felt was going on in the city, and what he understood as he looked into people's hearts. Verse 41, when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace. You folks don't have a clue, he says, what peace is all about. You're singing and praising. It sounds so nice, but you don't know where peace comes from. You don't know what you're really hoping for. They have been hidden from your eyes. Verse 43, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of visitation. You see, despite the seeming joyous welcome by the crowd at this parade, Jesus looks at Jerusalem and weeps for the hearts of his people. He sees deeper than anybody else. He realizes that these folks who mean so well this morning will turn against me and not understand who I really am in just a few days. Jesus was God. He knew everything that was to happen every moment, every day, and it all floods his heart and mind, and he weeps over the very people singing these songs. The citizens thought they knew what kind of peace they needed in order to overthrow Rome, but Rome was not their problem. Sin was their problem. Things haven't changed much since then. We still think that if we can just have this or that, or find this or that, or make this happen and that, that we will find peace in our lives. But it's not external, God says. It is internal. It's in your heart. Jesus would say to his disciples at another time, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I've come to bring peace in the hearts of people." And it was hidden from so many citizens of this great city on Palm Sunday, because they were interested in a peace of another kind. A peace they could only conceive would be protection from an enemy. Not the peace he came to bring. But peace in this case meant trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ completely, something they were not really willing to do for the most part, for most of that crowd. And to this day, the truth about Jesus has been hidden from so many, many hearts of our day and our community as well. It's always been that way. The King was coming. The King of Kings came, and they missed it. And sometimes, even today, people get excited about Palm Sunday and think about the King and totally miss that he's coming with peace to enter into our hearts. Zechariah, another of the great prophets, wrote this, "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for a child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps for a firstborn. And on that day there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse my people from their sin." You know what? The King is coming again. The King is coming again. The King of Kings is coming. For everyone who knows him in a personal way and who has peace in the heart, he is coming to find us. He is coming to rescue us. The King is coming again. In that passage I mentioned a moment ago in John 14, Jesus spoke about his return. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me," he said. "I will come again, and if I come again, if I come again, and when I come, I will receive you so that you will be with me." When he comes and he interrupts this world as we know it this morning, if he should come today, would you know the King? Would you sing the right song? Would you herald the right one? Would you know him inside your heart? Or would you miss it also, looking for someone to rescue you from pain or an enemy? Would you know the Savior? Would you know the King? Would you let him in? Jesus said, as King, "My kingdom is within you." My kingdom has nothing to do with the external issues you're dealing with today. My kingdom is within you. My kingdom has already begun, unseen but very real, realized inside of every one of us here today who've accepted his gift of eternal life. So much so that Colossians 1 says, every believer has been delivered from the power of darkness and translated already. Already pictured as being translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. It means forgiveness of sins. It means true peace with God. It means assurance of eternity with him. It means being born again and receiving a new heart. The King is coming again. Are you ready? Are you ready for him? Have you let the Lord Jesus become King of your heart? There were many that first Palm Sunday in Jerusalem that missed the whole thing and never saw the king, never recognized the king, never made the king part of their life. That may happen again here today. Once we open up our hearts to the King of Kings. Peace with God. Step one. Realize that God wants you to experience peace in the heart. Abundant and real. In every way. Romans 5, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way peace comes. Real peace, lasting peace, eternal peace comes from God Himself in Jesus alone. The problem is, just like it was on Palm Sunday morning, not Rome, not our government, not the problem is our sin, our separation. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the problem. We want peace. We know maybe it comes from God somehow, and the problem is that our sin has destroyed that and separated our relationship with the Father. So the bridge is the cross. A few days after singing and saying hallelujah and Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus was crucified as the Bible said He would, pierced through for us. 1 Peter 3, for Christ died for our sins once for all to bring us to God, to make peace with the Father. And our response is to receive Him, to trust Him. Romans 10:9, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. God said that. Father said that about His Son. The King came that Palm Sunday. And they missed it. In about 4 days, they crucified Him. Most of them unaware of how that was pictured all through for the Messiah, for Jesus Himself, and they missed it. And I fear there may be some this morning who will miss it again. Because peace is in here. Ask Jesus to come into your heart this morning. Make this a Palm Sunday that would literally, completely change your life. You need and we need to be born again completely to let God regenerate the human heart, your heart, my heart, that is always bent toward evil, always tends to go the wrong way, to do the wrong things, to make the wrong decisions, to form the wrong relationships. I need a new heart, a heart after God, a heart that's changed. Oh, change my heart, oh God. Give me peace. Let's pray. Father, some of us may miss the meaning of Palm Sunday here this morning too. And I pray for all my friends who are assembled in this room right now. Just beautiful families and one after another, just a beautiful collection of friends in Christ, but some might be here without You, who know they're struggling deep in their lives because there's no peace. There's no peace at work, there's no peace at home, there's no peace in me. And it must start by making peace. And the only way we can do that is accepting peace from Your Son Jesus. We make You King of our lives this morning. We want to honor You and serve You as Savior, as Lord, as King. I know that every knee one day will recognize that. Every person will recognize it. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and King of kings. But right now, some of us miss that. And I pray we would pray personally and individually for peace. Oh God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I do wrong more often than not. I know that's my nature and I want it changed. I want you to come into me. I want to make you king in my life. I accept what you did on the cross just for me. If nobody else, just for me. In paying the penalty of all that sin. And providing not only a place in heaven for me, but to be in the kingdom right now. To have peace in my heart about who you are and where we're going together and what our future is. I pray someone will make peace with you right now and accept the gift of peace, the gift of eternal life, and make you the King of Kings that you are. Lead us this morning as we rejoice and as we fellowship around your table in closing, that it is a beautiful and reverent and meaningful time to remember the last week of the Lord, your Son, that started here today on Palm Sunday, to when he found himself before his disciples eating the Passover meal. Speak to us, show us, make peace in us today. In Jesus' name, amen.